Father, as we come before you this morning and open your word to hear from you, Father, to have you speak into our ears, into our minds, to cause us to see with our eyes, Father, what your word says, I pray, Father, that you would grow our knowledge of you. Lord, you'd stretch us in our faith. You'd cause us to see outside of the box that sometimes we create you to stay in. Father, I pray that we would see the Lord's Prayer, what's called your prayer, as a pattern of the way to pray. Father, as I start this, I want to thank you, Lord, for your provision that is constant. I give you praise this morning because you take care of us even, Lord, when we're not asking. I look back on my life and I see every place, Father, that you've been there and have been ahead of me, taking care of me, and I give you praise for that. Lord, we thank you for this time today, and we pray that you just excite us about your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stay standing and we'll read the verse, Matthew chapter 6. We are in the Lord's Prayer where he has said, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are really, it says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. So it's verse 11 there that we are going to look at today. Give us this day our daily bread. You may be seated. When thinking about this message this week, I had a kind of different thoughts on how to start this. So I was thinking when we come to the Lord in prayer to ask for something that we need, do we come to him with uncertainty? Do we come not really sure if he's listening or if he cares? There's some people that approach God like that. Well, he's, you know, maybe doesn't hear me. Maybe he doesn't really care. Or we might come to him with doubt, thinking God doesn't really care about me and why should he bother? You know, no one else cares about me in this world, so why would God care about me? These are valid ways that people think about God. I mean, they're not true, but that's what they think about him. And when we come to him, do we come to him in faith, believing that our Father will provide everything or every need that I ask him that's in accordance with his will? That's where we should be, but really a lot of what I said in the first two accounts are mostly true with people. I don't want to waste God's time. Or God doesn't really care. So that, you know, really when people pray, they take two sides on the issue of prayer. The first is they never ask God for anything. Some people just won't go to God. They ask him for anything because they don't think he'll ever answer it. And yet God is not at our beck and call to do our bidding. He's not the genie in the pocket like some people treat God sometimes. The other way is when we ask God for what we need or want or desire, there are some people that understand he's a loving God and he will answer their prayers in their best interest. I hope that's where we are this morning. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I hope today we would understand that God does provide. He does care. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Who's ever known that to be true? What we don't realize as we grow as Christians is he changes the delights of our heart. That's what he does. He changes the delights to be things that He would desire. And we begin to ask things that He would desire instead of, when I was a younger believer, things that I want, I want, I want. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. How many know it to be true that God does bring to pass anything that you would ask of Him? He does do that. Does do that. So by coming to our Father, remember, we're looking at the text in Matthew, it says our Father. So coming to our Father to request from Him the things that we need, and it really involves something great. If you were to just look at or think about that one verse, you know, the child of God is entering into a time of profound worship, really, with their Heavenly Father. When we go to our Father in heaven and we ask Him for something, it's an act of worship. Did you ever think of it like that? It's really an act of worship. Think about it. There's no higher form of worship that exists than for a child of God to enter into the presence of His Heavenly Father. We would come to church, excuse me, and we would think that worship is all about singing. That's not what worship is. Worship is prayer. When you look at worship, really worship, it's going, singing is an act of that, but that's not all there is to worship. Worship is prayer, getting on your knees before God, talking to God. That's the greatest act of worship that a child of God has. They can walk into the presence of the living God and talk to Him. But we often don't look at it like worship. To unashamedly declare before God that I cannot make it without You. I am totally dependent on You, Lord. That's what sits in this verse. When it says, give us this day our daily bread. It's an acknowledgement that I cannot do anything without Him. How many know that to be true? We know it up here, but sometimes it doesn't work out here. Because I still try to do things in my own power and my own strength because I still think I can. And the reality of it is I can do nothing without Him. Nothing without Him. So when I go to God and ask for my daily needs to be met, what am I doing? What are we doing when we do that? And I want to talk about that this morning. First of all, I'm going to give you 3 points here that I think really, and then I'm going to go into breaking down that verse. But 3 things here. When we approach God in prayer, to ask Him for our daily needs or our daily bread to be provided, it does something to me. I believe in God's power when I do that. Now, how many this morning believe and know God is a powerful God? I hope so, but when I ask God to provide for me my daily bread, I'm proclaiming my faith in His power to do just that. He can do that, as He did with the manna in the wilderness for Israel on a daily basis. I'm telling my Father that I believe He's able to take care of me. Not just that He might take care of me, but I believe that He is able and even willing to take care of me. And this is the Bible's testimony concerning God. Let's go back to Job. Remember Job in your Sunday school class? Let's go to Job 42. Job declares a truth here that's pretty awesome. Job chapter 42, the first 2 verses. And it says, the word says, then Job answered the Lord and said, how would you like to be having a verbal conversation with God? Well, you'd say, that'd be great. I don't know if it was so great for Job. You know, Job thought he knew and understood God, and he thought, and then until God finally answered him, and he said, who's this that darkens counsel with me? uh-oh. It's not, that wouldn't be a good way to start out a conversation with the living God, would it? Who are you to talk to me? But praise God, we can come before him because of Christ. So Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do what? All things, everything. Okay? That should be underlined in our Bible. He can do everything. There is nothing that God cannot do. Well, he cannot sin. We know that. But there's nothing God cannot do. He can do everything. And that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. That's the great thing about the will of God. No man's going to change it. And it says, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And go to verses 36 and 37 of that chapter. Luke 1, 36 and 37. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of for her who was called barren. Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing will be what? Impossible. Is there anything that God cannot do? No. Is there anything that's impossible for God to do? No. Let's follow that thought to Ephesians chapter 3, and let's go to verse 20. Just one verse, Ephesians 3, 20. And that verse tells us, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I love that. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. So put those two words together. Exceedingly. Well, I mean, he exceeds our expectations. He abundantly gives more than ever imaginable. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or what? Not just what I ask him verbally, but even what I think. The thoughts. Lord, I need this. So he's way ahead of me. Exceedingly abundantly beyond those things. According to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. What's the power that works in us? The Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit makes it possible for him to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's amazing. He is able, and he can, and he will take care of his children. Now, do you believe that? That's the question. Do you believe that? Even when it concerns you personally, do you believe that? See, I believe that God is powerful, and he can do anything he wants. So when I go to the Lord in prayer and I'm asking him to provide for what I need today, I have to go to him believing he's more than powerful to do that. And he'll do it. I believe, number two, I believe in God's promises. Now we would say up here, I believe the promises of God, but we don't live all the time like we believe the promises of God. Just listen to the way we pray sometimes. We pray for something and then the next thing out of our mouth is almost as if we doubted what we prayed for. Isn't that something? Lord, I'm asking that you would do this. I'm asking that you would do that. And I'm asking this. And Lord, would you please and help us turn around and say, oh, I sure hope God could do that. Oh, boy, I look at that guy. I just don't think that's even possible. Why even pray? We believe the promises of God. How many this morning believe God keeps his promises? Absolutely, he does. But yet sometimes we doubt him in the way we talk. When I ask God to provide for my daily bread, I'm confessing my faith in the promises God has made to us, his children. give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I know you promised to be my provider. We haven't got to the end of Matthew chapter 6 yet that tells us not to worry. We're going to get to that passage. The Bible's very clear when it tells us that the Lord will take care of his own children. Every need, he'll take care of all of it. Let me show you. Psalm 37. Now, these are some promises that we read in the Bible. And we should, once we read them, here's the strange thing about us. How many believe the Word of God is absolutely true? And that if it's written down, it must be a promise that he's made and he will keep, right? It's a strange thing, because why is it that we read and forget what he's told us, and read and forget what he's told us, and read and forget what he's told us, and read and forget what he's told us? We're a strange bunch. I'm telling you. Psalm 37. It's no wonder the Lord is tolerant with his own. Psalm 37. Verse 23. Let's go to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Does the Lord keep his promises? What's a promise that you see in that passage? Provision. He will never forsake the righteous. Ever. Doesn't mean he won't allow trials in your life or design trials for your life, but he will never let the righteous be forsaken. Philippians chapter 4, this verse you probably all know pretty well or have read it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is that a promise? Yes. Paul was saying this. This is something that the Lord had shown him and proved to him that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How much of Paul's need was met? All of it. All of it. Number three, I believe God wants to give things, good things to his children. I don't believe that the Bible ever says he wants to give his child a bad thing. He wants to give his children good things. How many this morning believe that? That God has your best interest at heart. When I ask God to provide for my daily bread, when we ask God for those daily needs of life, we're not trying to twist his arm to get him to give us things that he doesn't want us to have. We're not trying to overcome his reluctance to meet our needs. That's not what we're trying to do. We're merely laying hold on that provision that he has given us. We are humbly acknowledging that he is willing to give what is good to his child. Nothing honors God more than his children coming to him in childlike faith and asking him for what they need. Because he delights in giving us good things. And we see this in Luke. If you go to Luke, the book of Luke, and you go to verse 12, or chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse 31. See, some people won't go to God because they think God is just going to punish them. You ever seen that before? I'm not going to ask God for anything. He's just going to punish me. If I just go and he's not going to punish his children like that. He'll discipline his children. He might rebuke his child, but he won't withhold good from his children. Look what Luke chapter Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Let's go to verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. Wow. Let's break this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. As we've been doing, breaking these apart, we see the first word, give. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when I'm thinking about the word give, it implies something, really, which is total dependence on God. We approach God's throne in an attitude of need or dependence. And as I said, unless God provides for us, we have nothing. We know that, right? Unless He provides, we have nothing. Unless He meets our needs, our true needs will go unmet. This is not, when we look at this word give, this is not a give me because I deserve it theology. God gives because He loves you. Now, if some people doubt the love of God, you're going to begin to doubt that He's able to give you anything, or that He wants to give you anything. But God gives because He loves. He desires that we ask because it glorifies His name. He already knows what we need. But He wants you to come to Him and ask because it brings glory to Him. The word give, I'm thinking about this word this week, it implies not just total dependence upon Him, but it implies a gift. Think about that. A gift. Something totally undeserved. Lord, would you give me my provision for the day? How many deserve that? Look at all the things you own. Look at all the things that you have. Look at the clothes on your back. Look at how He's provided. Who deserves that? Nobody. Who deserves praise for that? God. The word give implies gift. That word's used. Let me show you some other passages. John chapter 1. Go to John 1. Thinking along the lines of a gift. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 12, let me read starting 11. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave, see the word gave there? The right to become children of God to those who believe in His name. Even that word gave implies what? A gift. An undeserved gift. John 3:16, a verse we all know. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. There's that gift. That unmerited gift. The giving of His body, the shedding of His blood was a gift. Gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation's a gift. John 10, verse 27. John 10:27. Notice what it says here. I'm going to read to verse 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I, what? Give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Understand things there. Jesus gave us eternal life. That's a gift. Amen? And Jesus acknowledged that even the Father who has given them to Him, given us to Him, we were a gift to the Son. That's amazing. So, when I understand the word give, I understand it's a gift. God gives eternal life. God gave His only Son. The Father gave us to the Son. God alone gives the power to become His sons. These are free gifts given by a sovereign hand of an omniscient, omnipotent God. So again, when we say give, we're saying, apart from You, I have nothing. Unless You give me this gift today, I got nothing. We can think we go to work and we can punch the clock and it's all about our own strength and our own labor, and we fail to realize the job I have was even a gift. The strength I have was a gift. The fact that you could earn a paycheck is a gift. Everything is a gift. Boy, how much more does even our salvation mean to us when we understand it's not earned, it's a gift. That's amazing. Okay, so we're looking at give who? Give us. We're breaking that passage apart. Give us our daily bread. Jesus reminds us that our prayers should not be confined to our own needs. Notice it doesn't say, give me my daily bread. Think about that. It's plural. Now, it doesn't mean I can't go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what I need. I'm asking You for to do this. But our needs are really a small part of what we're to pray for. The us stands for the body of Christ, the whole body of Christ. And so when I'm going to the Lord to pray for my daily needs, do I approach Him to pray for the needs of my brethren, even as I'm praying for my own? Do I just stop at, this is all about Dan, or do I go on and say, Lord, I want to pray for George and Jeannie. This is what they need. I want to pray for Sam and Betty. This is what they need. I want to pray for George and Carol. This is what they need. I wonder what it would be like in God's ears if I spent most of my time praying about the needs of the body more than the needs of myself. I wonder what that would be like. Might be a little bit like the Lord who spends more time praying for us than He does Himself. Several things might happen when we do this. Your love for those you pray for will grow. Been thinking about that a lot. We want to talk a lot about other people, but how much time are we on our knees praying for other people? We need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. The only thing that should ever come out of our mouth about a brother or sister in Christ is, Lord, bless them. Be with them. Teach them. Strengthen them. Lord, provide for their needs. Give me a love for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me love them. Don't ever let me condemn them. And that's where our heart should be. When I begin to pray, give us this day our daily bread, it becomes a bigger thing than just me. Your concept of the body of Christ will grow. If we pray like that, you probably will end up giving more of yourself and more of your provision to those you pray for than you ever did before. Hear me. If I spent my time praying for someone's needs, I think the Lord will begin to say, you know what, Dan? You can meet that need. Go do it. You can do that. Go do it. The enemy has got us so busy finding faults with other people and less time praying. Give us this day our daily bread. There's the last part of that. Asking one day at a time, no, it's this daily bread. He knows what we need every day before we ever ask Him, both our in our physical needs and our spiritual needs. And if you look at Luke's account in Luke 11, it's more clear. Go to Luke 11. Luke 11. Now, it came to pass, verse 1, as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, and John, as John also taught His disciples. So He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Now look at verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. So it looks more specific. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now, how many of us go to God and ask for our needs like that before God? Every day, before the day begins, Lord, today, would You meet my needs today? Would You meet our needs today? Would You meet my brother's needs today? Or how many of us pray with, like we're depositing a check? Lord, I'm going to need some things, and I'll be back to talk to You in about 3 or 4 weeks. Just in case I get really busy with my life, I want to just throw this prayer out now. See, He wants us to come to Him day by day. When God, like I said, when God provided, and you can read about it in Exodus chapter 16, when God provided manna in the wilderness for the Israelites, they were commanded to gather only enough food for the day. They couldn't go and, you know, this is what we would do, right? There's manna on the ground. What do you think we do? Let's can it. Let's freeze it. Because you never know when the hard times are going to come. And so, in doing so, we wouldn't really have to ask God for provision because we've got a cellar full of food, right? That would be our thinking. And God knows that. He knows that if He told us to go and get all that we could hoard for ourselves, then I'd never have to ask Him. He wants us to come to Him daily. Daily. There's no guarantee that what you see around you today that you'll have tomorrow. Is it? It's amazing. My father-in-law, before he passed away, worked 25 years for a company called Kaiser. He was a union guy. Oh, I remember saying, that's the greatest thing. Greatest thing to ever be, this is not about unions, okay? He says, the greatest thing to be a company guy. They take care of me. They vote, they have my best interests. I said, no, they don't. They're a business. You're a commodity. You're expendable. No, it's a company. They take care of us. I said, when he, right before he retired, you know the story about Kaiser, all that. He had this huge retirement. They took his 401k, they took all of it. And he ended up at his retirement with $350 a month. Took his stock, took it all. And he said, what happened? It was a great opportunity for me to talk to him. I said, Robert, I said, your provision doesn't come from Kaiser. It comes from the Lord. He'll take care of you. And so, but here's people that put their trust and stock in anything but God. And God says, I'll provide and I'll give it to you daily. Just ask me. Just ask me. If they gathered more than they needed, what would happen to the manna? It's spoiled. It's spoiled on them. And there's an example because God wanted them to realize that they must trust Him to provide for their needs every day. It's too easy to go to God and say, Lord, this year, I need this. He wants you to go day by day and say, Lord, today would You meet those needs. Now, ultimately, the bread that will satisfy completely and forever is the provision of the Lord Jesus Himself. I have to say that because the bread of life is Christ Himself. If you have Christ, you're starving. He's the bread of life. John chapter 6, matter of fact, let's just go to that verse. John chapter 6. Let's go to verses 31 to 35 there. Or 30, let's start in 30. Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform that we might see and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the man in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Verse 34, then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So ultimately, Jesus is the bread of life. Now, God provides that bread daily if we would just ask. So when we ask God to give us this daily bread, let's not forget that everything we have is a gift, and a gift is undeserved and unearned. The missing element in most people's lives when they go to ask God is they don't have a grateful heart. We're not content with what we have. We always want more. And God wants us to be content and thankful for what He's already given us. And we have a long list of "please give me" requests and a short list of "Lord, thank you." Now, I was thinking about this. What are some things we might pray for when we ask God for daily provision? And it's easy to just leave that at food or, you know, our basic needs. But I was thinking, I put a list here, just about 8 things that we could possibly pray for. Pray for the capacity to love the unlovable. You know, I need spiritual food too, not just physical food. Pray for the capacity to love the unlovable. Pray for the joy of the Lord to be evident in your life. Pray for the peace that passes understanding that Philippians chapter 4 talks about. Pray for a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Again, it's not just the physical need, but Lord, help me to know you more. Help me to understand your word more. Give me a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. Pray for the ability to make godly choices. Wouldn't you like to make better choices? Lord, help me to make better choices. Pray for a servant's heart. Pray for a servant's heart. You think about what a servant is. There's not a lot of complaining in God's servants, or there shouldn't be. Pray for that God will meet the needs of your brethren, as I've already said, and pray that He will meet your needs physically and spiritually. So there you have it. We go to the Father and we're asking Him, or saying, "Give us this day our daily bread." There's a little more to that than just repeating that verse. And when tomorrow comes, you start all over. Lord, today, I pray for these needs for my brethren, and I pray for these needs for myself. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, give us a heart like we're seeing, Lord, through the Lord's Prayer. Help us to understand, even when we come to you for our daily bread, it's not just about us. It's not just about us being fed, but Lord, causing us to grow that we might be able to feed others. Help us, Lord, in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful day.